Morning. Today's daf and brachos, daf nun aleph. We're going to be treating the Gemara today to learn how to treat food. All the way to the end of the perek, where you're going to see a story where somebody does not treat food so well, but that comes up later. Tana Rabbanan, we're at the towards the top of nun amud beis, and we start with the following. Yayin ha'shelo nasan l'socha mayin v'varchin l'bar pri hagafen. Now, their wine came very syrupy. Okay, for those of you who remember your days in Israel when you had that syrup and then you added the water to the syrup in order to make bug juice. So that's basically what they had. That was their wine. How come the wine came out so syrupy? I don't know. Meaning we don't. We pretty much make wine the same way, and our wine comes out not syrupy, but okay. And the wine undiluted was pretty much undrinkable. Gemara later on will suggest there may be a way to drink it even without undiluting it, but it needed dilution. In fact, their wines needed so much dilution that it was a ratio of 1:3. 1 part wine, 3 parts water. So you can imagine now what kind of syrup we're talking about. So according to the Elabor Priyates, so according to the Tanna Kamma, which is Rabbi Eliezer, so you can't make a bar pri hagafen on it because you don't drink it. Right now, it's basically liquid grape, okay, for lack of better term. And so, therefore, if you're going to drink it, so you make a bar pri hagafen. Remember the olive oil we talked about earlier in the sixth parak? You drink the olive oil, so you make a bar pri hagafen. So this isn't wine yet. Wine is something which is an improved product over the grape. So it's not, we're not here yet. So therefore, you don't make a bar pri hagafen. And then, now here, there's so many girsas of the Gemara, so you gotta just, I'm gonna make it simple. In other words, I'm just gonna stick with what we have in our Gemara. You could see Rashi has an alternative girsa in the Gemara. You could see Tosfos, where he discusses what the correct girsa is. But we're just gonna stick with what we have in our Gemara, and that is not only Mimenal Yadayim. You can wash your hands with it. Now, hard to imagine, you're pouring grape syrup over your hands in order to wash your hands. Usually you would think that you would need to wash your hands after you have the grape syrup on. Hard to imagine that you were talking about now, it's not even grape juice, it's talking about like real thick grape syrup as something to wash your hands. Okay, the point that Rabbi Eliezer is making, according to our Gersa and the Gemara, is that it's not wine yet. Meaning in the state of syrup, it's basically just, it's liquid grape, it's like grape just been reduced to a liquid, but it's not wine yet. And so therefore, it doesn't have the status of wine. You don't make a bar pri hagafen on it. And if you want to wash your hands, as bizarre as that sounds, you can wash your hands with it. However, once you add the water, and now you've turned it into wine. So first of all, the correct bracha now is bar pri hagafen. And additional to that is you can't wash your hands with it. Why can't you wash your hands with it? Because it's wine. And now you're wasting wine. And one of the themes that we're going to see again and again over the course of today is you can't mistreat food. Okay, so that's, and again, what I'm presenting right now is only the gears of the Gemara as we see it right now on the page. You can see Rashi has more discussion. And the Chachamim say, no, the bracha is always going to be a bari pri hagafen, even if it is reduced to, even if it's undiluted. And don't wash your hands with it. Meaning, under any circumstances, don't wash your hands with it. It's never appropriate to wash your hands with it. So, now, this idea of Rabbi Eliezer, that you could wash your hands with this grape juice, okay? This really follows in line with Shmuel. Now, historically, of course, I said it backwards. Shmuel's the Amora, Rabbi Eliezer's the Tana. So, really, Shmuel's going in line with Rabbi Eliezer. But Shmuel says, "Osa adam kol tzaracha bepas, do whatever you want with bread." Meaning, if you need a bizarre example, but if you need a pillow, and you don't have a pillow, and there's a nice loaf of bread over there, okay, so do whatever you want with bread. Right, kol tzaracha, person can do whatever he wants with bread. We're going to qualify that statement a little bit later on. Not anything, but okay. I'm Rav Yosef Rav Chanina Modim Chacham L'Rav Laz Bekosha Baruch Hashem Avach L'Avash Yitem L'Socho Mayim. Now, despite the fact that there is a machlokus between the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer, I have now raw, undiluted grape syrup, grape product. So liquid grape product. I'm not doing a good job explaining this because I don't know what this is. But in other words, it's the syrupy stuff. And even though there's a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim over what the correct bracha is to make over it, according to Rabbi Eliezer Bor Pri Eitz, according to the Chachamim Bor Pri Agafen, despite that, when it comes to kosher bracha, now kosher bracha, we are going to describe it as a cup of wine over benching. But it's really not limited to that. Meaning anytime I'm using a cup of wine for the purpose of a mitzvah, Kiddush, Havdalah, etc., etc. But primarily, and you're going to see Rashi, I'll point to a couple of Rashis over here. Primarily we're talking about benching, the cup for benching. There's agreement that you gotta dilute it. You gotta add water. So my time, I'm Rav Osha, be'inan mitzvah min amuvchar. Because look, I'm now doing a mitzvah with this cup of wine. Mitzvah min amuvchar. The undiluted wine is thick. It's not enjoyable. It's much better to dilute the wine. So therefore, mitzvah min amuvchar. So you add water. V'rabban l'may chazi. Now, why according to the Chachamim, even if it's undiluted, am I going to make a Bor Pri Agafen? Amar Zerah Chazi l'Karaita. There was a drink they had back then. How do you make this drink, Karaita? I don't know. Rashi calls it poison. That's not right. What I'm saying is not correct. But I don't know French, and it sounds like from Rashi, right?
Kaluntis?
No. Yeah. Well, that's Lashon Chachamim. But in French, though, Pison? Okay. That's what I suggested. But I say that tongue in cheek. I don't really think I'm right when I say that that's what we're talking about. So anyway, fine. In other words, whatever this drink is, this undiluted wine goes into this drink, and there's no water in it, obviously, because otherwise you're just diluting it. And again, so according to the Chachamim, there is some ability to drink this undiluted wine as a wine drink, like some form of sangria. So okay, fine. So the Chachamim say it deserves a Bor Pri Agafen. Tana Rabbanan. Four things about bread. Now, four things about bread. The basic idea of the upcoming Gemara is you can't waste bread. You can't waste food in general, which is going to be somewhat of a discussion, but certainly bread. In other words, you have to treat bread appropriately. It's a food. So, don't put raw meat over the bread. Raw meat is put over the bread. The juices of that raw meat are going to go right into the bread, and nobody's going to eat the bread. And now you've just wasted a good piece of bread. Full cup. Don't pass it over the bread. Again, same basic idea. It's going to spill on the bread, and it's going to ruin the bread. Don't throw the bread. Okay? I know many of the minhag on the Shabbos table to throw the bread. Okay? And happens to be... Right, correct. That's a toss. That's not a throw. Very good distinction. I support that distinction. Okay, and I also happen to have. It's the same basic.
What's the reason?
I know my brother used to do that.
Many have the minhag. I've seen a number of places where they toss the bread on the table. Okay, but here Zorkin as apas means again just with disrespect and just like tossing the bread. Again, it's the same basic idea. You want to treat the food with respect. And also, if let's say the plate or the tray is a little bit wobbly, so what I'll do is I'll just stick a little piece of bread right under there in order to stabilize it. So the Gemara says don't do that. You can't do that with bread. Again, it's bread. The Gemara tells the story of three Amoraim eating together. So now they're eating dates and pomegranates. Distana. So Marzucha, what does he do? He tosses to Ravashi some distana. Distana says Rashi, cooked meat. Okay, so he tosses a piece of cooked meat. So Amalei Losev Lamar Lahad Tanya Zorkin Saochlin. Well, what are you doing? You can't throw food. What's going on? Aiba Pas Tanya. So the answer is no. That bryce is talking about bread. Bread has a unique quality, a special quality. Look, we make a special brach over bread, so it's unique. And so this idea of not throwing is only limited to bread. Va Tanya. He persists. That's not true. We learned in another bryce. Kei Shem Shein Zorkin Saochlin. Kei Shem Zorkin Saochlin. I'm showing you another brisa. You can't throw any food. Okay, I got my brisa. My brisa says that you're allowed to throw food. It's just bread that you're not allowed to throw. Says the Gemara, it depends. If when the food gets thrown, it's going to get ruined. So in other words, it's a syrupy food, it's a sticky food. And by throwing it, if it lands on the floor, no one's going to eat it. So that's waste that you're not allowed to do. We're talking about food where even if it drops on the floor, you pick it up. 5-second rule. It's universal. You pick it up, you eat it, that's fine. Meaning that kind of food can be thrown. Tan Rabbanim Mamshichin Yain Bitzanos Lefnei Chasim Lefnei Kala Vizorka Lefnei Klios Vegos and Biyamosach Chama Vol Biyamosach Shamim. Okay, throwing rice at a wedding. I know we think that that is not a Jewish custom. There is some Jewishness to it. In fact, we have Minhagim over here, as presented by this Tosefta. They would have wine flow in front of the Chasen Kala. I don't have a good visual. There was like some sort of pipe that was laid out in front of the Chasen Kala. They would pour the wine into the pipe and it would flow in front of the Chasen Kala. Simen Bracha. It's a good sign. And they would throw in front of the Chasen Kala Klayos ve'egozim, nuts. And they would only do it during the summer months, but not during the winter months. And the difference is, winter months, when we say winter, what we really mean is rainy months. They land on the floor, they land on the mud, no one's going to want to eat it afterwards. Again, it's the basic idea we've been talking about. If it's the kind of food that can get thrown, and then, no problem, just pick it up and eat it, so that's fine, so then throwing it is fine. You need some sort of purpose, like over here, where we're throwing it for the purpose of Simen Bracha. But okay, if, however, you throw it and it's going to get dirty and filthy and no one's going to want to eat it, then you cannot throw it. Don't throw rolls of bread even in front of Chasen and Kala. Again, that's bread. Bread has a unique quality. No throwing of the bread whatsoever. So Rashi writes that they're going to get disgusting, even be a mosachama, so therefore no throwing of the bread. Okay. Right. You might have thought that maybe for the Chasen Kala to get the Simen Bracha, it might have been worth it. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the response is no. I'm Rav Yehuda. Okay. Shachach v'ichnes ochel nesoch piv. It happens, you forget to make a bracha, and the food's in your mouth. And so now what do you do? So Ochlan Lesoch Pib Lo Bracha. So the Gemara is going to give three pieces of advice, and obviously you'd like to hear only one piece of advice, and now three pieces of advice. So Mistakan Tzadechan Mavarech. So one Braisa teaches us, no, sorry, it's not a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda teaches us, move it to the side of your mouth and make a bracha. Tanya Chada Bol An V'Tanya Idach Pol Tan V'Tanya Idach Mistalkan. Okay, good. Now we have three Braises that talk about what to do. So one Braisa says swallow it and then make a bracha. I'll come back to that unanswered question in just a moment. Tanya Idach Pol Tan. Some says no, spit it out. And Tanyidach, and we have a third brisa, which is move it to the side of your mouth. Now, lo kasha. The Gemara says, here's how we're going to resolve all three brisas. Hada Tanya Bolan Bimashkin. Okay, you drink some liquid, forgetting to make a bracha. Now what? So now, to move it to the side of your mouth and make a bracha, that's not humanly possible. Okay, so that's not going to happen. To spit it out, you see, that creates a problem, because, like we've been discussing now for nearly an amud of Gemara, you're wasting. Because what happens after you spit it out? You're going to drink it again? No. So that's disgusting. Torah does not want us to be disgusting people. So you're not going to do that. So you're left really with only one option, which is to swallow it. And then make a bracha? Stay tuned. And we're still going to leave that question unanswered. V'haditanya poltan. Now there's another braisa. I'm sorry. Yeah. So v'haditanya poltan b'mida delamais. Now, what was the suggestion of another braisa? To spit it out. Okay, that's talking about something where you put it in your mouth, you spit it out, it doesn't get disgusting. Okay, like a nut. Okay, so in other words, you put it in your mouth, you forgot you didn't make a bracha, spit out the nut, make the bracha, and put it back in the mouth. But had the time of Sakam and Midah Demais. Now, if it's a food where once you put it in your mouth, you are not going to take it out and put it back in again, meaning that's it. It's disgusting if you're going to remove it from your mouth. And we're not talking about liquid, we're talking about a food. Now, push it to the side of your mouth, make a bracha, and then resume. So, b'midah d'mais.
So, with the liquid, you have to drink more after it?
I'm going to hopefully discuss that. Maybe. Okay. Now, top of the next time, we're going to run alef, b'midah d'lomais, nam l'sakin l'tzarechad, v'livrech. In other words, by food in general, why not always put to the side of your mouth? Meaning, why is it that I should think, and sometimes even do, take it out of my mouth? So the Gemara gives the answer, V'livrich, Tir Gemara V'yusa, Kas Kasa, Kamei D'Rav Yossi Ba'avin, Mishmei D'Rav Yochan, Mishum Shanemra, Yemalei Pi, Tehila Secha. Because when you make a bracha, your bracha should be full, when you make a bracha, your mouth should be full of bracha, and nothing else. So you should not be chewing on gum, or having your mouth with anything in it when you make a bracha. Your mouth should be free, clear, and empty when making a bracha. Ostensibly, it's an issue of kavod, kavod abracha. In other words, you want to honor the bracha. So therefore, your mouth should be empty when making the bracha. Consequently, if possible, take the food out, make the bracha, and then put the food back in. Again, if not possible, i.e., it's going to get disgusting and you're not going to want to put it back in again, so then move it to the side of your mouth. Now we have in our Gemara the question of, let's say you ate, you drank, and you didn't make a bracha. Is it too late? Is it too late to make a bracha? Well, let me give you a not a direct answer, but an answer in the form of a question. Okay, this is how Jews talk to one another. It goes back to the time of the Gemara. So let me ask you a question. You eat garlic, now your breath stinks. So what do you think would be a good solution? To eat more garlic? Right? That's how you would cleanse the breath? Obviously not. Meaning, so if you stink so and you're going to think you're going to eat more garlic to stink, that's not going to be the case. Now what seems to be going on over here is that maybe we have to revisit what the question was to begin with. Meaning, the question wasn't just, should I make a bracha afterwards, but apparently the question was, can I go on eating? In other words, if I ate and forgot to make a bracha, can I go on eating? Because the response seems to be, well, if you stunk it up, should you stink it up some more? Right? That's basically what seems to be the give and take. Amar Ravina Hilka Chafilu Gamar Sudaso Yachzer V'Yavarech. So Ravina says, it would seem to me that based on what we just said, that if you ate and drank and forgot to make a bracha, you make a bracha after. This is Ravina's conclusion. Now, this is not going to be our conclusion. Stay tuned for the upcoming Gemara. No, we're not talking about benching. We're talking about bracha rishona. That's a good point. So, so make a bracha afterwards. D'tanya, and Ravina says, and how do I know that this is so? Because look, I will show you times in halacha where normally the bracha should be made before, but you can make it afterwards. D'tanya. Tavo ve'ala, omer be'aliyosa, baruch atah Hashem, lokeinu melech olam, asher kiddushanu be'mitzvosav tzivanu al hatvila. We know that when a person tovels in the mikvah, he makes the bracha after he tovels in the mikvah. Okay, I'm going to explain this better in just a second. But what you see from here, says Ravina, is that halacha sometimes allows the bracha to be made after and not before. The Gemara flatly rejects velohi. In other words, we're not rejecting the Braisa. The Braisa is correct. What we're rejecting is the next step, meaning learning from that Braisa. Hasa miikara gavra lochazi. Because look, when you tovel in the mikvah, you couldn't make the bracha before. Ain braver, there's no choice. You're simply going to make the bracha after. However, hacha mikara gavra chazi, here we're talking about eating food. You absolutely should have made the bracha before. V'ho v'itche itche. Now you missed the bracha before. That's it. It's too late. Done. You cannot make a bracha afterwards. Okay. So the Gemara's conclusion is that there's an exception to the basic rule. Basic rule is a bracha rishona has to be a bracha. Just that. A bracha rishona has to be made before you eat the food. If you forgot to eat the food. So if it's salvageable, like the examples that we talked about on the bottom of the previous amud, where either I could take the food out, make the bracha, put it back in. Or move the food to the side of my mouth, make the bracha, and then swallow. Or by liquids, not salvageable. You just got to swallow. So fine. However, if it's after the fact and you forgot to make a bracha rishona, done. Meaning it's over. It's too late to make a bracha rishona. Ostensibly, you would still make a bracha achrona, but you missed your opportunity of a bracha rishona. Now, that's what I want to discuss now. So when we're talking now about a tefillah, so the Gemara says, well, you're not going to make it before, why not? Meaning, why does the Gemara so confidently say you're not going to make a bracha before you tovel on the mikvah? Why can't you make a bracha before you tovel on the mikvah? So the first thing we're going to look at is Rashi. Rashi says, Hasam ikar lo chazi, and Rashi writes, Rov tefillos mishum karihem. Look, what is the chief mechayev of toveling in the mikvah? So Rashi says, carry. Now, why does Rashi say that? Well, we learned back in the third parak that Ezra made a takana that if somebody's a bal carry, a man is a bal carry, Or a woman, for that matter. In other words, after Bia. But if a man's a Baal Keri, so he has to tovel in the mikvah. If he wants to learn Torah, if he wants to daven, so he's got to tovel in the mikvah. The Mishnah says you can't daven. You can't learn Torah until you tovel in the mikvah. Fine. So in other words, so that's going to be the primary cause of a person going to the mikvah. And we know that a Baal Keri can't make a bracha. Shame divrei Torah kedami beperek meishamesa. Go back to Daf Chaf. So you ain breira, meaning you simply have no choice. So now by tefilas mikvah, since the main reason why a person's going to go is because he's a Baal Keri and because he can't make a bracha before, so he's going to make a bracha afterwards. But Rashi continues, of a high meikari yichse became the itche, and here. What is he going to do? He's just simply, it's too late for him. Ain Breira.
He makes a bracha after he gets dressed, I guess.
Yeah, in other words, you're right, correct. You have to be covered. Yeah.
What about if you're going to have more of the same food, you make
it? Yeah, in other words, correct. In other words, if you plan on eating more, so that's fine. Now you'll make a bracha and then you'll eat. In fact, that's probably better.
Well,
yeah, in other words, correct. You made a mistake for not making the bracha before, but, you know, what are you going to do? That is Rashi. Take a look at the top Tosfos. Now Tosfos is bad v'tema v'alo tameinu asa levarich, meaning Tosfos wonders why can't you make a bracha before you go to the mikvah. He quotes Rashi v'kunshus perish to balei kerem asurim b'divrei Torah v'yesh lamar b'nedemari b'tfilas geirim. Tosfos gives the following pshat in the Gemara here. He says, no, he doesn't agree with Rashi. That's nothing to do with the Baal Keri. And part of the reason why he may disagree with Rashi is because, look, we did away with Takanas Ezra. We don't hold of Takanas Ezra anymore. To explain our Gemara using Takanas Ezra, that's a little bit difficult. We don't follow it. Okay, debatable. But anyway, Tosfos offers the following explanation. We're talking about a convert. Oh, now that's good. That's a good pshat. A convert absolutely cannot make a bracha before he tovels in the mikvah. Correct. And we just did this a day ago. Okay, not a day ago, but a couple days ago. That a person, that the conversion is not finished until he tovels in the mikvah. He does bris milah, he accepts kabbalas mitzvos. He is still a non-Jew until tefilas mikvah. That really will make the entire change. Good. So he can't make a bracha as a non-Jew. There's no bracha to make as a non-Jew. It's just simply, it's ineffective. And so now he tovels in the mikvah. And so now when he comes up, literally there ain breira. There's no choice. And so therefore, Tosa says, and that'll set the model. That'll set the precedent of how to tovel in the mikvah. Meaning, it's interesting. Because of the convert who literally cannot make a bracha before he tovels in the mikvah, so now for the rest of us, every time we tovel in the mikvah, for whatever reason, for a man it's a Baal Keri, for a woman because she's a Nida, for whatever reason, so therefore now the stage has been set that I make a bracha after I tovel in the mikvah. Okay, Bizman is there, what do we do? So that's a... Well, that's the next point of Tosfos, I'm going to get to that. Okay, so what do we do nowadays? So that's another discussion in terms of how we put that into practice nowadays. But that's how Tosfos explains the Gemara. V'chein b'netilas yadayim. Now, Tosfos says, now we're going to take the same idea and apply it to netilas yadayim. Now, it's interesting. What you could have said at this point in time is, it's the same by netilas yadayim, because netilas yadayim is like mini tvila, right? It's like tvila on a smaller scale. When I'm washing my hands, what I'm doing is I'm putting my hands now into a state of purity. So, which is essentially what the mikvah does. Takes a person's tamei and puts them into a new state of purity. It's funny, Tosfos doesn't go that route. He doesn't say that washing your hands is like mini tvila. What does he say? Shepamim adam bami besakise ve'ein adam ra'u lavarech ala achar netila. Because when do we wash our hands? Sometimes we wash our hands. I mean, not sometimes, but we always wash our hands. But I'm saying one of the reasons why we would be washing our hands is because we went to the bathroom. And after going to the bathroom, you got to wash your hands. Right? Hygienic wash, halachic wash, meaning another discussion, but Tosfos is assuming that netilas yadayim, you wash your hands with a cup after you go to the bathroom. And so there, same problem. You literally cannot make a bracha before you wash your hands. You have waste material on your hands. It's not even a, It's not appropriate. You can't. Halachically, you can't. We learned that back in earlier in Brachos, that in Tzoa, in the presence of Tzoa, you can't make a bracha. So now, since there is a circumstance where you can't make a bracha before, so now for every Netilas Yadayim, the rabbis instituted that you're going to make the bracha after you wash your hands and not before you wash your hands. Ad la'achar netila, na'guham lavar, kol shar brachas yadam la'achar netila. So says Tosfos. Okay, for more on this, there's Tosfos and Psachim, Dav Zayin Amud Beis. Right, that's not my Bekias, that's me reading the side of the Gemara. But there Tosfos also goes through the same discussion of what are the exceptions to the rule. The rule is you always make a bracha before. When do you make a bracha after? So your two exceptions are going to be tefillah and the mikvah and netilas yadayim. Why? So we just read Tosfos over here. See the Tosfos and Psachim for more discussion. Okay, two dots. Back to the Gemara. Now I know what we're going to. It sounds like we're going to be talking about is asparagus. We're not talking about asparagus. The word in the Gemara reads asparagus. It's not. It's a drink. It's either made up of wine or it's made up of beer mixed in with other things. Okay, cabbage. He says. Okay, good. Cabbage wine. Okay. Right. It doesn't sound like something that appeals to me. That doesn't matter. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara had this drink in the time of the Gemara, and the Gemara thought it was a great drink. Great, not just tasting, but beneficial, medicinal, good. Let's see the Gemara inside. Tana Rabbanan, asparagus, yafa lele, v'tov le'inayim. So it's excellent for the heart, it's good for eyesight, v'kol shekein levne'inayim, and it's fantastic for the intestines. Okay, so we got we have ophthalmology, we have cardiology, and we have gastroenterology, and good. Okay, so we got it all covered. V'haragobo yafa l'chol gufo. Now, we're going to get to the alcoholism in just a moment. So the v'haragobo yafa l'chol gufo. Now, drinking it with regularity, not a lot. That's not what the Gemara means, but it means with regularity. And what I'm saying is not just to be PC, meaning the Gemara is about to say it. But if you read it if you drink it with regularity, good, meaning excellent. However, mishtaker emenu kash l'chol gufo. But getting intoxicated from it, okay, that in other words, abusing it. So that's no good. So now it says it's good for the heart. Now I don't know where my cardiologists are this morning, but good for the heart. The Gemara says it's got to be wine. Meaning, as I mentioned in the beginning of this Gemara, there are two forms of ispargos, whatever this is. So there is the wine form and the beer form. So it says it's good for the heart. The Gemara assumes anything that's good for the heart, immediately you got to think wine. It's got to be wine. Okay, a glass of wine a day. So the Katani Kosha can live name I am. But then it says it's also good for the gastroenterology. But the Gemara says, Bahatanya. But that's not true because Lalat Yafel Laramas Kosha. Because we have a basic tradition that wine is good for La'at. Lamed Ayin Tes. Okay? Lave Ayin Tchol. So wine is good for the heart, for the ayin, for the spleen. It's difficult for Ramat. Resh mem tough. Rosh, it's bad for the head. Okay, gives you a bit of a headache. It's bad for the intestines. And it's bad for the lower intestines. So, Kitanya hi b'miyushan, the Gemara says, okay, but no, that braisa on cue. We're talking about cardiology right now. So, Kitanya hi b'miyushan, so the Gemara says, well, that's talking about old wine, vintage wine. Rashi says 3-year-old wine. It's right, good for cardiology, right? Okay, good. Right on cue. Kid did not, in fact, I know this to be so because look, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah, Nedarim Konim Yain Sheni Toim. A person makes a neder and he says, I'm not going to drink wine anymore. Okay, now you're thinking Nazir, but he doesn't want the other stuff, meaning he doesn't want to be a full fledged Nazir. He just wants to cut out on the wine. Right, okay, and konim yain sheni tom shayin kashel of name ayim, meaning because look, every time I drink wine, I know what's going to happen. I get my stomach starts hurting. It's bad for the intestines, terrible for the GI tract. So you know what? I'm swearing off wine, and so he does it with the form of a neder. Amar lo v'alom yushan yafehu liv name ayim. So and then you say to him, well, you know when it's old and vintaged. So it's good. By the way, I made a mistake. I said it was bad earlier. I apologize. It's good. Vishasek, and he's quiet, meaning, okay, he agrees. So Asa Bechadosh, right, and the Gaon takes out the next words. Asa Bechadosh is not allowed to drink new wine, meaning, the only, he explains himself, the only reason why I don't want to drink wine is because I, every time I get this bad reaction and my GI goes crazy. So, fine. So in other words, so what he basically did is he modified his neder, and he basically now, with the explanation provided to him, he's only prohibiting new wine. Old wine, vintage wine, beautiful. He can continue to have, his neder will not affect his any drinking of old wine.
What about partial neder being nullified?
Yeah, right. So that's why, so you're right on the money. You just walked in. So that's why the Vilna Gaon says, take out the words, Asa Bechadosh. Right, exactly for your reason. And now the Gaon doesn't explain that, but I'm assuming that that's what's behind the Gaon. The Gaon says that his neder basically has been lifted. Because once part of the neder has been lifted, the entire neder has been lifted. Okay, good. Good timing.
His vow was only on the part that hurt.
Right, well, in other words, but once part of his neder is lifted, the entire neder is lifted. Good. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Nemru Basparagus. We go back to our asparagus drink. And Shosan So El Kishu Chayu Malay. So it's got to be raw, undiluted asparagus. And it has to be male, it has to be full. The cup has to be a full cup. Mekabla miyamin v'shoseyu b'smol. Okay, this is number two. I numbered it. So we're good for today. Mekabla miyamin v'shoseyu b'smol. Take it with your right hand and pass it over to your left hand. Okay, I don't understand it, but I don't know what we're even talking about. I don't know the drink, so that's fine. No conversation after you drink it. In other words, the way to therapeutically drink this drink is to drink it one swig, no breaks. And no discussion. You can't talk afterwards. Now you hand it back to the person who gave it to you. Okay? Perhaps the Gemara is now turning to the esoteric, meaning I don't know if there's a rational way to explain this Gemara, but fine. Viraka Acharav. Now make sure to get a good spit right after you drink it. Okay? The Ein Somchen Oso Ela Bimino. And what should you put next to it? In other words, what should be your chaser after it? Only what it is made out of. So in other words, as I mentioned, there are two types of asparagus. There's the wine asparagus and the beer asparagus. So do you follow it up with some grapes, or do you follow it up with whatever you're making the beer out of? Remember, the beer is back then was made out of dates, not out of barley. That's a modern phenomenon. That's a St. Louis phenomenon. The Hatanya, the Gemara quotes a bright saying, some chanos oela bepas. Now, another bright says that you chase it down with bread. Lokasha habedachamra habedashikra, the Gemara says it depends. If you are making it out of wine, so then, so if you're making it out of wine, so then chase it down with bread. If it is a beer, so then chase it down with the kind of beer it is, as Rashi explains. If it's a fig beer, chase it down with some figs. If it's a date beer, chase it down with some dates.
Is this similar to in terms of the bracha for the bread? Is this like the bread secondary, like the case we had with the sweet, salty food?
Right, this might be an example of tafa. Well, the bread's going to be tafa. It's a good point. Tinichada, now we learned in the Brisa, la yafa l'ramat kasha. One Brisa tells us that it's good for the levine chol. Good for the heart, eye, spleen. Bad for the rosh, the mayim and tachtonim. Head intestines and lower intestines, the colon. Kasha v'tanyi idach ramat yafa la kasha. Now we have another Brisa that just flips it and inverts it. Lo kasha abedacham abedashichra. So the Gemara says wine versus beer. Wine, again, wine, always, the Gemara always assumes wine's good for the heart. So for wine, it's good for lot, bad for ramat. Beer, your date and fig beer, good for ramat, bad for la'at. Tenicha deraka acharav loket. Now, one Brisa says, spitting afterwards is harmful. Loka literally means you're going to get malchus. That doesn't mean that you're going to get corporal punishment. It means that it's just simply going to be harmful to you if you spit afterwards. V'tanya idach lo raka acharav loket. And another Brisa says exact opposite. Not spitting is harmful. Lokash abed chamer abed shechra. Again, same thing. So it depends whether it's chamer or shechra. Now, which one's which? I would have no idea. I turn to Rashi. Rashi says that by wine, don't spit. By beer, do spit. Okay? Do I understand? Of course not, but that's fine. It's I'm Rav Ashi, Hashta Damar, Lo Rak Acher of Lokem, Meim of Nizrak and Afilu Bifnei HaMelech. Now, because it's harmful, you have to spit. And even in, if you're in front of a king, and even though, it, of course, it would be totally disrespectful to the king, but because you're about to be harmed, there's a sakana, so therefore you spit even in front of a king. I'm Rav Yishmael ben Elisha, Shosha Dvarim Sachli, Suriel Sarapanim. Rav Yishmael ben Elisha speaks to the Malach, and was told a number of things by the Malach. Three things by the Malach. Number one, Al Titol Chalukcha B'Shachris Mi'ad Hashamash V'Tobash. Now he's having a conversation with the Malach, so we may not rationally understand these pieces of advice. Meaning there is depth to the Gemara here, and it goes beyond just a superficial understanding. And you got to speak to somebody who understands these things, not me. I'll read. I'll translate. So don't take your garment in the morning from your shamash and put it on. Meaning you should take your own garment, but do not get it handed by the shamash, by your attendant. Two, don't take the cup of water for Netilas Yadayim from somebody who he himself did not wash his hands with already. And three, al tachzir kos aspargos elamishnas nalo mimnei shetach safis v'amrila astalganis shamalachi chavala. And when handed the cup of aspargus, and after having drunk the cup of aspargus, make sure to hand it back to the same person who gave it to you. Do not hand it to somebody else. If you violate any one of these three pieces of advice, either atach safis or istalganis, names of various demons, are there ready to pounce upon you. I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi Shosha Dvarim Sachli Malach HaMavis. Rav Yeshua ben Levi had a conversation with the Malach HaMavis, and the conversation went like this. Three pieces of advice were shared. Al titol chalucha shachris mi'ad hashamash v'tobash. Similar, exact to what Rav Yishmael ben Elisha heard. By the way, Rav Yishmael ben Elisha, remember? By Pamachas nechnasti lahakter katoris lifnai v'lifnim. Where's that Gemara? Is that coming up?
Shabbat.
No. Okay. Anyway, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha is Kohen Gadol, and he goes in to be Makter Ketores, and he has a conversation with a Malach with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in there. Okay. Anyway. Okay. I'm sorry. Back to Rabbi Yishmael ben Levi, who's an Amora, having a conversation with the Malach HaMavis. So, Al Titel Chalucha Shachris Mi'ad Hashamash V'Tobash, don't take your clothing from the attendant in the morning. Al Titel Yadcha Mimishlo Natal Yadav, don't take the cup to wash your hands from somebody who he himself has not washed his hands. And three, Al Tamal Lifnei Anashim B'Shashe Chozoros Men Ameis, and don't interact, don't even stand near women after having coming back from a cemetery. Mimnesha Ani Merakeid Uval Lifneihem. The Malach HaMavis describes how he himself dances in front of the women as they're coming back from the cemetery. V'charbi biado, with the cherub in my hand, v'yishlu v'shus l'chabel, and I have license to kill. V'yipaga maitakante. Now, if in fact you happen to see a woman coming back from a cemetery, what do you do? Linshuf miduchte arba amos. So get away. Move away 4 amos, move at least 4 amos away. Iika nahar liavre, if there's a river, go over the river. Iika darka achrin aleizoba, if there's another path, go down another path. V'iika guda leku achore, if there's a wall, stand behind the wall. V'yilo lahadra ape, now if all this is not available, so what you do is turn away. V'leima v'yam Hashem al-satan yigar Hashem b'cha ad chafimine. Recite the pasuk in Zechariah. V'yam Hashem al-satan yigar Hashem b'ach. Now it would be helpful if you remember the rest of that pasuk. Halaud mutzal me'esh. Okay, and then I'm done. So, ad chafimine, and wait until the women pass. I'm Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Elab, and Masisa Tana, Asar, Dharim, Nehmer, Mekoshel Bracha. 10 things by Koshel Bracha. Now, again, I told you earlier today, Koshel Bracha, here Rashi says it straight out. We're talking about the cup of wine over Birkas HaMazon. Okay, so when you bench over a cup of wine. I told you we tend to be lax on this issue, but the Gemara says it's important, it's done. You should bench over a cup of wine. The cup of wine that you're benching over is a Koshel Bracha. I mentioned another time, I'm just going to repeat myself again today, that fundamentally, primarily, we would really like to make a bracha before benching. Meaning we're benching over a cup of wine. So really, you'd like to make a bor perek offering right before the cup of wine. Here's the problem. It's a very simple problem. It's a logistic problem. Then after you bench, you can't drink the cup of wine. Right. Meaning by Kiddush, right, I know I've said this before. By Kiddush, you make a cup of wine, you make the bracha of bor perek offering before Kiddush. By Havdalah, same. In other words, when you're making Kiddush over a cup of wine, you first make a bracha over the cup of wine, and then you say Kiddush. Same with Havdalah. You make a bracha over, first you make bor perek offering, then you say Havdalah, and then you drink. Isn't that a hefsek? No, it's not a hefsek because I'm benching over a cup of, I'm sorry, I'm making Kiddush and Havdalah over a cup of wine. So fundamentally, we would have liked to have made the bracha before, but the problem is that you benched. And that benching obviously now is going to cover everything, including the wine. So what we do is, right, this is not me talking, Tosfos makes this point in Pesachim, so what we do is we push off the bracha to after benching. Fine. But it's still a kosher bracha, and Rashi over here says that we're talking about the kosher bracha, so there are 10 things regarding the kosher bracha. Now they are as follows. Number one, hadacha, that needs to be rinsed out. Number two, shtifa, it needs to be rinsed out. Now I know I just repeated myself. So, the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment the difference between hadacha and shtifa. Number three, chai. Now the Gemara doesn't explain this, and Rashi suggests the following. Chai, says Rashi, is that it's diluted. You dilute it. Tosfos no.
Undiluted?
No. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry, Rashi. I'm sorry. Go back to Rashi. So Rashi says that it's that when you start with the bracha, you start undiluted, and then you dilute it somewhere in the middle. Okay? It will come back to me in just a moment in terms of when exactly that's going to happen. Rashi offers another explanation of what chai means. Rashi says, la'aviyu min achavitz l'shmo, meaning when you bring it from the bowel, you bring it for the purpose of birchas hamazon. Number four, malei, cup has got to be full. Or malei could also be going on the cup itself. Cup cannot be unharmed. In other words, it's got to be a full cup. Number five, itur, it's got to be crowned. Stay tuned. We're going to discuss what that means. Number six, ituf. It needs to be wrapped. Again, I know I'll keep it right now vague and ambiguous. Number seven, no lo b'shtei yadav. When you take it with two hands. Number eight, no snami mean place it in your right hand. Number nine, magbiyom menakarka tefach. Lift the cup off the ground one tefach. And number ten, no snami enav bo. Look at the cup of wine. V'yesho me'maf m'shagro b'matan l'anche b'eso. And then there's another opinion, we'll call this 11, which is, it's not universal, hand it to your wife after you drank a little bit from it, it's a kosher bracha. Let her enjoy the kosher bracha. I'm Rav Yochanan, okay, so those are the 10/11 things that are said by a kosher bracha. Now, I'm Rav Yochanan, Anu Ein Lanu Ela Arba Bilvad. Now, Rav Yochanan says we only have four of these 10 things. Now, does he mean that he just totally wipes away, he does away with the other six? Or perhaps what he's saying is that you got to first worry about these four. These four are like the ikker. And then, if possible, get in the other six as well. Okay, subject to a discussion in terms of what exactly what Rav Yochanan means by that. Now, the Gemara is going to explain each one of these. Hadacha, shtifa, chayim alei, tana. We learned in a braisa. I'm sorry. First, Rav Yochanan says, what are the essential four? Hadacha, shtifa, chayim alei. Those are the essential four things that need to be done by kosher bracha. It's got to be rinsed. It's got to be undiluted, and it's got to be full. Okay. Now, Tana, we're going to go through each one of these and explain each one of them. Number one, hadach mi bifnim v'shtifa mi b'chutz. So when we say rinse and rinse, why the double language? Hadacha means internal rinsing. Shtifa means external rinsing. Okay, good. Number four, right? I told you the Gemara skips the chai. Number four, Amar Yochan Kol Mevarcha Kos Malei Nosen Lo Nachla Beli Mitzarev. When the cup is full, so you get a full bracha, a bracha without any boundaries. Shenemar Malei Berchas Hashem Yam V'Daram Yarasha. Rav Yosef Rav Chanina Amar Zochem Nochu Shnei Olam Emolam Zev Olam Haba. Gemara says, not only do you get bracha in this world, you get bracha continues ba Olam Haba. Itur, The Gemara says, what about crowning? What does that mean? You crown the cup? Rav Yehuda ma'atrei b'talmidim. So Rav Yehuda would make sure to crown it with talmidim, meaning that when he made the bracha birchas hamazon, and he would make it over a cup of wine, he would be surrounded by his talmidim. That would be the crown of the kosher bracha. Rav Chista ma'atolei b'natle. Rav Chista would have small cups surrounding the big cup, and that's how he would crown his cup. I'm Rav Chanan Uvechai. Now we go backwards. Why the Gemara does this, I don't know. But now we go backwards to Chai. I'm Rav Sheshes Ubebirchas Aretz. Now the Gemara over here is a little bit vague in terms of what exactly that means. It could possibly mean that you start with the wine being undiluted, and you dilute it when? In Birchas Aretz. When you start Birchas Aretz, when you finish Birchas Aretz, unclear, but in other words, that could possibly be what the Gemara means, right? He quotes the Rif, and the Rif basically suggested what I just suggested. Ituf, wrap up for the kosher bracha. Rav Papa ma'atef yasev. Now, Rav Papa would understand this to mean I wrap myself up. In other words, he would wear an additional garment when making the when benching over a cup of wine. Rav Asi parasudra reshe. Rav Asi would wrap his head up when benching over a kosher bracha. Now the Beis Yosef understands this to mean as follows. First of all, Beis Yosef says some people suggest that it's referring to putting a head covering on your head. So the Beis Yosef says can't be, meaning because for kosher bracha you wear a head covering, but for all of the brachas you don't wear a head covering. Can be. Beis Yosef says what it means is as follows. In general, whenever you make a bracha, of course you're going to have your head covered. And the minhag, by the way, mekubal, is that for all men, they cover their head at all times. But, in other words, aliba de'ilchasa, according to the strict letter of the law, you need your head covered for a bracha. Any bracha, not just kosher bracha. What is the Gemara over here adding? This is Beis Yosef talking. What's the Gemara adding over here? A second head covering. When you make a kosher bracha. Okay, Mishnah Berurah says, appropriate to wear some sort of second head covering, right? In Europe, in Radin, as you can imagine, he recommends wearing a hat for benching. But in other words, based on the Beis Yosef, you need some sort of additional covering. No lo b'shtei yadav. Now the Gemara continues. Take it with two hands. I'm Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. My cross. Su yadechem kodesh uvarchus Hashem. Say su yadechem kodesh. They take it with your hands. Now, when you hold in your right, that has to be exclusively in your right, or can your left give it a little bit of help? And this is an old question, says the Gemara. Now, they asked the question, they didn't have an answer. Anan na'avid l'chumra, we should be strict. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Don't have your left hand help out your right hand. Hold the cup exclusively with your right hand. Lift up the cup, says the Pasuk in Tehillim. Kos Yeshuos Esa, lift it up. And so therefore, lifting by definition means at least a tefach. And says the Gemara very simply, because you don't want to be distracted. So you want to be focused on not only benching, but benching over a cup of wine. Look at the cup of wine. Don't look at anything else. You'll get distracted. So the Gemara says, and now let's explain number 11, which is hand it over to your wife afterwards so she can bring from the kosher bracha. And the Gemara explains very simply, so your wife will get a bracha as well, meaning you'll get a bracha from drinking from the kosher bracha. I mean, that is why it's called kosher bracha. And your wife, by drinking, will also get a bracha, kosher bracha. And the Gemara tells a story and such a wonderful way to end the seventh parak of brachos. Ula, ikla lebe Rav Nachman. Ula goes to Rav Nachman's house, krich rifta, brich birchos mezona. Okay, they break bread together, they're benching. Yaiv leikasta de brichos le Rav Nachman. Now, Ula seems to be leading in the benching. Ula has now, after benching, made a bracha on the wine. And now he drank from the kosher bracha. He hands it over to Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman can drink some of the kosher bracha. Amar Rav Nachman, lishtam akasti brachas liyalta. So Rav Nachman says, let's not forget about my wife. Right, yalta. Why don't you pass it over to her so that she can get some of the kosher bracha? Amalei Ula says no. Hachi Amar Rav Yochanan ein pri bitna shel isha mitbarech elam pri bitno shel ish. The bracha of the woman flows through the man, and so therefore, no, I will not give your wife koshal bracha. You got it. That's good, right? Ula says to Rav Nachman, because now that you got it, your wife got a bracha by extension through you, but she doesn't need koshal bracha. I'm not giving it to her. Now I understand the basic idea. I don't understand what's wrong with giving the kosher. Right, what's the big deal? That part I don't get in the Gemara. Meaning, I get the concept. I just don't understand what was so bad about it.
You give it to your wife.
So in other words, her bracha flows through you. Taina me'achir Rabbi Nathan Amar Minayin Shem Pribin Nashal Isha Mizbarach Lami Pribin Nashal Isha Nemar Vrach Pribin Nacha Pribin Nalo Nemar Ela Pribin Nacha. So and we have a brisa to support this as well. Now Yalta is interested in brisas. No, she doesn't care about brisas. She's simply not interested. Adahachi Shama Yalta. So come Bizihira. So Yalta gets angry. The Alta Lebe Chamra. Now she goes to the cellar. V'tabra Dalamei Adani Dechamra. And she does is, it's very simple. She breaks 400 barrels of wine in her anger. So Amalei Rav Nachman Nishtei Lamar Karsa Achrina. So Rav Nachman says, would you think about maybe perhaps reconsidering? Maybe now you realize that maybe was not maybe one of your best moves. I know you had a brisa supporting your position, but I'm not really sure right now if Yalta's interested in hearing brisas. Shachle kohai navga de berchasahi. So he sends her all various forms of kosh bracha. Shachle. So she sends back the following. In other words, apparently she wasn't there anymore, and they're now having a conversation through interpreter, through shliach, and she sends back to him mimehadure mile umimismartute kalme. You know, peddlers. So they talk a lot about what they have. And you know, rags, you know, shmatas, as my mother would say. So you're going to find lice in shmatas. And basically her point was, and she said it very disparagingly, very condescendingly, like it's too late. Like, in other words, you blew your chance, it's done, it's over. Okay, your Yalta story of the day. There are others out there in the Gemara, you know, in other words, how am I going to get you to come back to Daf Yomi? Stay tuned, because there are more Yalta stories coming up in Shas. Amar Rav Asi Ein Mesichin Akosha Bracha. Okay, no talking. Amar Rav Asi Ein Mevarchin Akosha Paranios. Now, don't make a bracha on Kosha Paranios. Okay, that's what is that? So my Kosha Paranios, Amar Rav Nachum Rayitzka Kosheni. Your second cup of wine. You remember the 10th parak of Pesachim? The Gemara speaks over there about the ill effects of pears. Right? Pears are bad. Now, I'm going to leave it like that because I'm limited in terms of how I myself understand it, in terms of what is so bad about pears. But the Gemara Pesachim spends a considerable amount of time talking about this idea of zugos, of pears being bad. So, if this is your second cup of wine, or the way you can understand the Gemara is, if you drank two cups of wine, okay, I'm not particularly sure how that works, but if this bracha is coming in the form of a pear, so that's no good. And by the way, why does the Gemara Pesachim 10th parak talk about this at length? Because on Pesach night, we're drinking wine in pears. We're drinking four cups of wine. That's two pairs of wine. So part of what the Gemara's discussion is over there is that Pesach night is Lel Shimurim. So we're given extra divine protection. On Pesach night, we don't have to worry about Zugos. But in general, worry. So Tanya Nami Achia Shosek, Kiflaim Lo Yivarech Mishim Shenemri, Kon Lekras Lokecha Yisrael, Vahai Lo Mitkan. Right? The Pasuk says you have to be prepared. And because this is a pair, it's not prepared. Am Rabbi Abba v'Amar Rabbi Mesisa Tana Ochal Mahalach Mevarch Meumad Uksha Ochal Meumad Mevarch Meyushav Ukishu Meisav Ochal Yoshev Mevarch. Various positions in which you should be when you're benching. The Ochza Bekula Yoshev Mevarch. However, the Gemara concludes that the appropriate way to bench is while sitting. Even if you wait standing up, you should be sitting for benching. Hadron alach shosha sha'achlu. Ad Khan is the seventh parak of Brachos. Tomorrow, Mirza Hashem Shabbos, we begin the eighth parak of Brachos. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.